To one of this church's favorite verses, and we're utilizing it to jumpstart into a little bit of a study this morning. And I'll explain what I mean by that in just a few moments. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have again this morning to come together and to study your word. As we take that time this morning, may it bring honor and glory to your name, and may it edify the saints. And in turn, again, may we use these bodies to be living sacrifices for Christ. For it is through his name we pray. Amen. Here I am again, going down the road in the car, turning on the radio, and there was a guy that was on the radio. I believe it was on RTA, and it doesn't matter, wherever it was. And what his big discussion was, who he was, and what his goal in life is to find out who he was. And I thought, well, that's probably a good thing to know and to understand. It's nice to know who you are. But it made me think a little bit. Surprise, surprise, that actually does happen with me from time to time. And it made me think, okay, who am I? And I immediately thought of this verse, verse number 20 in Galatians chapter 2. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Who am I? The moment you or I or whoever accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ for Calvary, of what he did at Calvary, when he shed his blood, the perfect, ultimate, perfect sacrifice for sin, God the Father looked at the Son's blood sacrifice and said, I accept that sacrifice. And when that happened, my identity changed. It says here in verse number 20 that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not what? It's not about me anymore. When you turn on the TV, when you listen to the radio, people want it all about them. Why people do sometimes what they do, and you sometimes scratch your head and you think, what in the world were you thinking when you did that? But here, it's very specific. It's not about me, because I am crucified. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross and he perished, guess who else did too? You and I did. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, when we trusted that finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, Bob Beam is crucified, and I am no longer the issue. But who is the issue? Who lives inside me? And Christ is the one that lives inside me. So it's all about him. It has nothing to do about me. To the point where it says very clearly, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's all about him. It's nothing to do about me. This gentleman was not using this as his point whenever he was talking about who am I, and everybody wanting to find about who they are. If we would recognize that verse in Galatians chapter number 2:20, it's the recognition it is no longer about me, it's all about him. So I thought, all right, let's see what the Bible has to say about who I am. So I got some paper and started writing. There has been a major transformation. Again, it's not about me. It's all about him. So as we begin this study this morning, we're going to take a look at who we used to be. And then once we see what we used to be, we're going to dive in. That's what I used to be. The rest of this, we'll go over at some given point in time. May not all be today. It may not be for a while, but we're going to touch base with this. And it's nothing new in this that I didn't already know. But when I looked and I started writing, I'm like, holy cow. Would you look at that? Look at what I've been given freely by His grace. Is it any wonder that I should live my life for Him because of what He did for me and you and the world? Who did I used to be? Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. Romans 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? I had a feeling that was going to do that because that was on there about like that. That's all right. Let's try this one. What we read here in Romans 5 and verse number 6 is that I am ungodly. Look at the resume of man. Just watch what we do, watch what we say. Am I a sinner? Yes. And you all know the verses. We're not going to go over all the verses or we'll never get done. All right. It says, I am ungodly. I am a sinner. So does that mean because of all this and because of the scripture that we recognize and that we see that as a result of this, we deserve death's penalty? The wages of sin is the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. I am ungodly. There's a reason I do the things that I do. I talk about this particular point frequently. And as soon as I start saying it, you're going to go, yeah, here he goes again about his little sister. Have a sister. I love her dearly. She saved, doesn't understand right division. I rejoice that she saved. Hopefully someday she'll listen to her crazy brother. All right. But I remember when we were young, there was a little rivalry between me and my little sister. And we would argue, we would fight, we drive my parents nuts. I also found out my older brother and older sister did that too. We argued, fought. There were times I remember fighting with her, and you're trying to reason, and there's no reasoning when you got two people going at each other going, ah! Good point. Notice his wife isn't here right now. I remember, and again, at this time I was still in the Catholic Church, I had a Donnybrook of a fight with her. I mean, it was, even my mother just kind of backed away from it. It was like, let them figure it out. We fought. Walked out of the house, slammed the door, went down the steps, and walked all around the metropolis of Hastings, Pennsylvania. Big city, maybe 800 people, you know what I mean? It was on a Saturday, and the reason I can remember what day it was is because at the church I went to at that time, they had a confessional. I mean, I said some things that weren't so nice. I walked into there, and I thought, they're doing confession. It's a good time for me to do confession. Do one of these things. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was in 1984. You got a cup of coffee because we're going to be here a while. You get my point. You list all your sins, and the priest said that was a good confession. Do this many Hail Marys. Do this many Our Fathers. Do an act of contrition and go and sin no more. So I did. Man, when I walked out of church, I felt good. I felt great. Lord, I'm never going to do it again. Walked in the door of the house about 10 minutes after I got home. Guess who I was fighting with? I'll never do it again. Uh-huh. Know that law Israel had? Could I have kept it ever? Could you ever keep it? Do you think you would slip up and fall at least once? Million times, maybe? You know why I did those things? Because I was what? I was a sinner. Who am I? Lord, I want to find out who I am. Well, you big dummy, you're in the likeness of Christ. I've given you everything he has. Duh. Who do you think you are? We have the life of Christ living inside us. What a magnificent truth. Who am I? I am dead, and Jesus Christ now lives inside me. Live like it. Romans 5, verse number 8. We talked about this just a few moments ago. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, who died for us? Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through who? It's all about him. How much has it to do about me? Nothing. Absolutely, positively, nothing. Romans 5, verse number 10. Yeah, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by whose life? You know what I was at this time? Was I God's friend or was I God's enemy? I was his enemy. I am ungodly. I am a sinner. I am God's enemy. Romans 6, verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death. Was I under death's penalty as of this point? Yes. Did I deserve eternal damnation? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You took me away from that. You got me out of this mess. For the wages of sin is death. I should have died, not just physically, which that day's coming. I can feel it in my bones, literally. You know what I mean? But there is a day coming where I should have died and perished and went to hell, went in front of the judgment seat of Christ later, and reserved eternal fire and damnation in the lake of fire. Praise God, I'm not getting it. Christ took care of that for me. Romans 5, verse number 18. For I know that as in my flesh dwelleth how many good things? For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I am condemned. Oh, wait a second. How about Romans 5? Verse 18. I said Romans 7, 18, didn't I? I apologize. Romans 5, 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon how many men? Was I considered in that all men? Yes, I was. Galatians 3, verse number 10. Galatians 3, verse number 10. I should be writing these down. Galatians 3, verse number 10. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, by the way. That's where that's found. I am under the curse. I am ungodly. I am a sinner. I am God's enemy. I am under death's penalty. I am condemned. I am cursed. One more. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in what? I hope you can read that. I'm dead to sin. I'm ungodly. I'm a sinner. I'm God's enemy. I'm under death penalty. I am condemned, cursed, and I'm dead to sin. You know what a resume is? What's a resume? Piece of paper, probably about yay big. And it's all about, and we'll use me as a for instance, because you guys know I've been through a couple jobs in the last few months. Got a resume together, has everything about Robert E. Beam on that, right? Says, I went to this school, I went and did this, this is where I worked, this is what I did I work. It's all about who? It's all about me. Funny the world's like that, isn't it? Because it's always about me, you know what I mean? You got this resume and it lists all your qualifications. There's my resume. This is who I used to be. When Robert Beam was Robert Beam, this is who I was. I was ungodly. I was a sinner. I was God's enemy. I was under death's penalty, condemned, cursed, and dead to sin. What a resume, huh? What a great resume. Woohoo! Give me that job. Just for some unknown reason, I got this picture in my mind of me standing in front of the Lord with my resume and say, here it is, Lord. This is why I should go to heaven. This is what we used to believe. You used to believe if you did more good than what you did bad, you're going to get in, right? Was there anything about me that was any good? Not a single solitary thing. I can see handing that resume to him and watching it go up in a flame of fire. So what else you got, Bob? What's that? Nothing? Bye. That's who we all were. At the moment of conception, you are a sinner. When does life begin? Conception. In sin did my mother what? Conceive me. You know, you look at the world and you scratch your head and you think, we can't tell when life begins, so we'll allow a baby to be killed for days after it's born. Right. Nothing to do with today's study, just a little point I wanted to throw out there. All right. This is my resume. That's who I was. Am I this anymore? It's a done deal. We'll get into that beginning right now. You ready? This is the bad news. But what's the good news? Scripture has a whole lot to say about that too. Provided you have trusted the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2 again. there's Hebrews. A little before then, Bob. I was looking at this old Bible. I talk about it all the time. I mean, it is, my wife got me a Bible for Christmas 2-3 years ago, whatever it was. The old King James. Good little book. You know where it's sitting right now? In my home on my dining room table where I worked on the lesson last night, right? I think I need to get it out. You know the verse that says the Word of God is not bound? Literally. It's falling apart. Time to appreciate. I love this Bible. Again, it's because Galatians 2 is here, but in the other Bible, Galatians 2 is here. Know what I mean? Who am I? I am no longer this. Who am I? Galatians 2, verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but again, I asked this a little bit ago. Who am I? Who lives inside me? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by me wanting my own way because I'm selfish and I want things done for me. That's pretty much how we are. This, you keep that one. That's a good one. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Whose life is in me now? Should I pay attention to a dead man? Anybody in here have pets? Yeah. Cats, dogs, chickens, whatever. Snakes. I was in a place recently. You do. I'm never coming to your house. What a great Christmas idea. Just hold on for me till next Christmas. No, I don't want a snake. You have a puppy dog. And a puppy dog dies. You know what, puppy, you need? You need a bath. Everything will be better if we give you a bath. Give the dog a bath. That bath do that dog any good? Why? Because he's what? Let's give him some food. That'll help him out. We're giving him the right kind of food to eat to make him healthy. Is that going to help that dog? Why? Because the dog's what? I am crucified with Christ. Robert E. Beam is dead. Why should I pay attention to a dead man? Whose life is living inside me? Whose life should I live? Because who have I become? Okay, that's a lesson. Have a nice day. Now we're going to look at some more stuff. You get the idea. I am crucified with Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Did it again. I went right past the first passage I wanted to look for. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. There's a couple in this one. It says here, buried with him. When something dies, what do you do to it? Why do you bury it? Because it's what? I always say I don't ask tough questions because if I ask tough questions, I couldn't answer them, right? When something is dead, you bury it. Who is buried with him? Insert your name right there. Robert Beam is dead and he needs to be buried. There's a day coming somewhere down the road, or that will literally happen physically here. This body will die. When it's dead, do me a favor, bury me. But here, according to this passage right now, guess who's buried with him in God's eyes? Robert Beam is not an issue any longer. Who's the issue? Christ. Wherein also you were risen with him. Guess what? When Christ was resurrected, when he came back to life, when God the Father raised him from the dead, and when Jesus Christ himself, by the way, raised himself from the dead, who does he focus on? Himself, because he's Christ. He is Lord. His life is living inside me. Whose life should I now live? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. It's all about him. I am buried with Christ. I am risen with Christ. And according to Colossians 2, verse number 13, go to Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you almost all trespasses. He's forgiven you all. He's forgiven me all. Every sin that I ever have committed is forgiven. Every sin that I will commit, shame on me because I'm paying attention to a dead man. But was that sin resolved at Calvary's cross? Where's the focus on? Where should I look at? I should look at him because I am alive with Christ. It's his life that's living inside me. Don't pay attention to a dead man, Bob. Pay attention to Christ. Who am I? I am Christ. Now, that almost sounds kind of shaky, but you know what I mean. Because whose life is living inside me? Where does all glory, honor, and respect belong to? Christ. Rhonda does ask good answers to good questions. How about that? I give you an attagirl. You're welcome. I give everybody attagirl and attaboy. Okay? It's all about him. It has nothing to do with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. The word of God is not bound. I mean it. One day, don't be surprised if I don't change this real soon. If I say, Mary Jane, would you read verse 17 for me? Because it's in here! Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in what places? In who? Again, I'm not asking tough questions. Just read what the verse says. I'm telling myself that too, by the way. One of the neat things about putting together a Bible lesson is guess, besides coming up with a lesson to help edify the saints, guess who else I'm edifying? There have been times, and I'm sure Tracy would say the same thing, he looked at something and read something and went, you know, I've read that about 10,000 times, but it took the 10,001st time for it to register. It's because I'm weak in the flesh. Let's just say it the way it is. Here in Ephesians 2:6 says that I am raised, I'm ascended to sit together in heavenly places. I'm seated in heavenly places. Does it look like you're seated in a heavenly place right now? But guess what? In the eyes of the Lord, you are. You're seated where? In heavenly places. In who? Here I am. Didn't write a single one of these down. That's the second time I've done that today. Shame on me. Okay, where's the eraser, Tracy? Aha! It's right here. You know what? Let's forget about the old dead man. So we're no longer the issue. There's a couple places in the Bible where I am's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? God telling Moses in the fiery bush, tell him the I am has sent you. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I am's a great passage. Just three little letters. I am. Great. I am crucified with Christ. I am buried. I am risen. I'm risen. Isn't that amazing? Does it look like I was risen? But in the eyes of God, who is? Because I'm in who? I am alive. I'm ascended. Am I in heavenly places now? We just read that a few moments ago. I am seated. This is all with Christ. Yeah, we're not going to get done today.
That's okay.
How about Romans chapter 8? Romans 8. My second favorite chapter in the Bible. It's real close to Philippians chapter 2. Real close. Romans 8, verse number 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with who? If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I am a joint heir. Don't ask tough questions because I couldn't answer them. I asked myself them. What is an heir? Judy and I live in a house. One of us passes away. Who does that house go to? If I pass away, it goes right to Judy. Why? Because she's a joint. Her and I own the home together, but something happens to Bob, she gets it. Might not be that much, but she gets it. I'm a joint heir with who? Think about that. Again, I ask, whose life is living inside you? Everything he has, guess who else has? Because I'm a joint what? I'm a joint heir. Everything that personifies me is in Christ. Again, I say, it's not about me any longer. Guess who it's about? It's all about him who gave himself for me. Guess who else I'm indwelt by? It says I'm a joint heir with Christ. I have Christ living inside me. Guess who else is living inside me? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse number 6. Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in what? Jesus Christ lives inside you, right? Right. Guess who else lives inside you? It says here, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. Is he in you? Mm-hmm. Think about that. I am dead. The life of Christ is living inside me. But guess who else is living inside me? Ever see why we're called the temple of God? Where does God hang out in the Old Testament? In the temple. Guess who's the temple now? Ta-da! You're his temple, 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 you're his. He shortchanged himself, didn't he? What a magnificent God he is, though. Because the Son lives inside me, and the Father lives inside me. Guess who else lives inside me? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 16, 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Know ye not that ye are the, you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth where? Huh? Jesus Christ lives inside you. If I put JC, I don't have to say that you don't understand that means Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ lives in you and me. The Father is in me. And the Holy Spirit, the old HS, okay? The Holy Spirit lives where? I'm really sorry. You sure changed yourself here, Lord. Christ lives inside me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Father lives inside me. Wow. The Holy Spirit lives inside me. And where does the Spirit work and operate today in a dispensation of grace? And who is also called the Word of God? Jesus Christ. And the Father and Son in Isaiah, where we just looked at this Christmas holiday that we just passed here not that long ago. We look in Isaiah where Jesus Christ, upon his birth, is referred to as Father. It's all about him. It's all about him. It has nothing to do with Robert Beam. It has nothing to do with Tracy Plessinger. Sorry, dude. Love you, but you don't count. Who counts? God does. I'll just read a couple of these real quick. I'm beloved of God. We'll do this further in a study, but I'm just going to mention a couple things. I'm beloved of God. Who else is called a beloved? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well. I am a saint. I am dead to sin. I am under grace. I am eternal. I am free from condemnation. I am a son of God. Oh my goodness, did he shortchange himself. I am foreknown. I am predestined, I am conformed, I am called, and I'm going to shut up. We'll go over those points another time. Any comments, questions on anything we looked at so far today? Pretty simple. Let the book say what it says. If a crazy guy who used to put potato chips on a shelf, who used to help people in a nursing home, so to speak, it's not exactly a nursing home, helping out people getting into a van, can see it, it's pretty simple. So I'm, again, telling you, if it were difficult, I would not understand. Thank you, Lord, for making it simple. Let's continue this another time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for Jesus Christ and for absolutely everything that he has done for us freely by your grace. We appreciate you. We love you. May we go out and live lives pleasing to you. May all honor and glory go to you, for it is you who have transformed us. We could never transform ourselves. Thank you for everything, Lord. Through it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time.